Good morning. Joshua is my name. If I haven't met you, I'm on the staff team here, and we get to look at that part of God's Word together this morning. So let me pray for us. Dear Lord, when we come to your word, it's not just something that we naturally understand. It's not just something that we naturally put into practice. And so this morning we ask, as we read it and think about it, Lord, that you'll help us to see you more clearly and what you're like. And Lord, that you'll help us be men and women and boys and girls who respond to who you are, and we ask for your help in this. Amen.
One of the things that is lovely about holiday time is there's nothing on kind of at night, because often during a term time it feels like there's often lots of meetings on, and what that means in my family is I'm not at home and Jacqueline is left at home to deal with the boys, and when she eventually does get them to bed, it means she kind of gets free TV viewing time, and that means she can watch the shows that I would refuse to watch with her, things like Escape to the Country, things like My Kitchen Rules. Every now and then she has admitted watching The Bachelorette, that kind of show. But what it also means is she gets a chance to kind of discover new shows that we can really enjoy watching together. One of the great shows she's found this year is a show called You Can't Ask That. It's a show on the ABC. There's whole three seasons. If you've never seen it, you can stream it on iView. And essentially, the name gives away the idea of the show, is that you know there are questions that you just cannot ask some people, aren't there? You meet someone and you think, I would love to ask them this question, but you just know you can't ask that. And so in this show, what they do is they ask them all those questions that you should not ask people. They sit them in front of a camera and people have, I think they've emailed or texted in questions, and they just ask these people these questions. Many of them I actually probably can't repeat in church. So I'm going to give you a few, but it's a show where, so they interview people who've turned 100, and one of the questions they ask them is, why aren't you dead yet? Right? Like, you go, that's the question that people want to ask really, really old people, like, how come they're still going? There's a show an episode where they interview priests. And you can imagine a number of whole questions that they'd ask. But they do ask these guys, what's the biggest sin you've ever committed? And ask them to kind of confess it on this show. They talk to people who've been part of cults. And they ask them, why are people in cults always smiling? There's a whole range of questions that they ask all these different people. Muslims, people who are overweight, transgender people, people with disabilities, people who play in the Invictus Games. They ask them the questions that you should not ask. And it's quite an incredible TV show. It's only about half an hour if you want to check it out. But we do have that, don't we? We meet people in life and we think, I really want to ask that question, but I know I can't ask that question. And really, it feels like in this passage that we're going to look at today, the disciples are feeling that a little bit about God. And so we're in this sermon series. We're on the road to Jerusalem with Jesus and his disciples. And as they're kind of traveling through all the different towns, Jesus is calling people to a new life with God. Jesus is saying he's bringing in God's kingdom. And it's really just a totally new way of living with God. And so as he's going, he's telling all these parables. And they're stories that show what this new life with God is like. Last week, we saw Jesus' story kind of change the way that his followers looked at their neighbours. And this week, Jesus is going to tell a story that shapes how his disciples look to God. Because when his disciples look to God, just like all Jewish, good Jewish people in those days, when they looked to God, they were very much in awe of God's holiness. They were very much aware of his holiness, like his difference and difference from them, because he is such a big, powerful God. And what that meant is the Jews of Jesus' day, they were very reserved in the way they spoke to God, which is understandable, because when you have a really high view of someone, you tend to be very careful how you speak. I was just speaking to my nephews before, who are here visiting this morning, and they're apparently going to see Craig Lowndes today, right? If you hold Craig Lowndes in high esteem, you're going to be very careful how you talk to him. You're not going to want to make yourself look foolish or silly or embarrass him, right? When you hold someone in high esteem, you're very careful of how you speak to them. You kind of have this basket of you can't ask that kind of questions that you just, you put them there, you know. And so the disciples, they're thinking, hey, God is holy, right? We just don't talk with him like you would a close friend. But the strange thing is, Jesus is very clear. He holds an incredibly high view of God, and yet at the same time, he speaks to him with a real closeness. It's incredible. I mean, that seems to be the thing that triggers this story, because the disciples have seen Jesus talking to God, and they say, hey, Jesus, can you teach us to pray like you? That's really how this parable comes about. And the great thing is Jesus kindly agrees to teach them, and he begins with what many people know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm sure you'd be interested for us to kind of unpack that this morning, but we're pretty much going to skip the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to focus in on the story that he tells after it. Because Jesus is saying, this story is going to teach you about prayer. The story begins in verse 5. Imagine this, Jesus says. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. It's not too hard for us to imagine asking someone for help at a moment that really doesn't suit them. I work with a lady called Vicky, and her official title is something like administration officer, but essentially she just keeps this whole place moving. That's really what she does. And often what happens is Vicky will have done her kind of work day and she'll about to head home. They might be having people for dinner and she's got to make her amazing mango mousse or something like that for dessert. And I'll say, Vicky, I cannot get the printer working. Can you help, please? Right? She's got a hand on the door, and there I am kind of saying, can you hang around and help me out? Right? This is kind of what's going on in this parable. It's a really bad time to be asking someone this question. Kind of give me food. And this is why, because Jesus keeps going with the story. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. It's a really bad time to be turning up. The kids are asleep. Now, I don't know, parents are lovely people, generally. The problem is, if you meet a parent and then you wake up their sleeping child, they go from lovely to all kinds of horrible very, very quickly. And that is essentially what's happening here. And you can imagine the response of don't, I mean, I actually can imagine a stronger response than don't bother me, right? But that's what's happening. Jesus keeps going with the story. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Right? It's not the friendship that gets the bread, right? There's no bounding out of bed at midnight from this person saying, oh, dear friend, I'd love to help you in your time of need. It's nothing like that. It's more the kind of getting up, like, oh, I can't believe they knock on the door at this time and wake up the whole family. It's that, it's just because this person's been gutsy. It's the nature, it's the gutsy nature of the request that gets the bread. It's the boldness to ask at such a bad time. Right? He's not embarrassed to wake up the entire person's family to get what he's looking for. He feels no shame at all in asking. He needs help and he boldly asks for it. Right? That's the story. Very short and sweet. And Jesus immediately follows the story with, so I say to you, right? Jesus is giving away the point of the story here. In verse 9, he says, so I say to you. And he says, ask. Right? Get it? Jesus is saying, the point of this story is pray boldly. And to make sure they get it, he says it again, seek. And he says it again, knock. Three times. So I say to you, ask, seek, knock. Right? Part of learning to pray is learning to be bold. Right? Jesus is saying here, there's nothing in the you can't ask that basket. And I think this is the bit that's actually really hard for the disciples to imagine, right? Because it's a completely new way of speaking with God. It's not what they're used to. And so it wouldn't have worked for Jesus to just say, hey, when they say, teach us to pray, it would not have worked for Jesus to say, oh, you can ask God anything, right? The story Jesus tells helps the disciples start thinking about the point that Jesus is making. That there's nothing too big, there's nothing too small, there's nothing too easy, too hard, too normal, too weird, too curly, too straightforward. There's no inconvenient time to pray to God, right? They can be bold in prayer. There's nothing in that you can't ask it basket. Bold prayers are what followers of Jesus pray. I've often been really guilty of having a you can't ask that basket and filling it up. I don't know if, do you have one of them? It's the place, right, where you put, you know, that person that you've been friends with for a long time, maybe they're in your family, and you've just gone, actually, there's no point praying for them anymore. It's just, they're too far gone. I'm just going to put them in the you can't ask that basket. Or maybe it's that really hopeless situation. There's just nothing that can be done there. And so you kind of place it in that you can't ask that basket. Or maybe it's just a really small problem that you've got and you're just thinking, actually, God has got much bigger problems that he's working on. This one's too small. I'm just going to kind of drop it in the you can't ask that basket. Jesus is saying, there's no basket like that. Jesus says, pray boldly. You can boldly approach God about any person, any situation, any problem, anything at any time. Right? And it's not just even for us individually, like even for us as a church. Like as a church, the opening of our vision statement is we want to be a church that's prayerfully seeking God. Are we doing that boldly together? Or have we got things that as a church that we kind of just put away in a basket? You know, can we actually ask that this year God bring 10, 50, 100 people to know Jesus this year through our church? Can we ask for a centre director for the Hope Centre so that we can keep kind of caring for the people for our town? Can we ask for our ministry to older adults, even as it takes on new leadership, to keep thriving and growing? Can we ask that we would be such a welcoming church that anyone who visits here this year actually hangs around? Or do we kind of have things like that that we just think, oh, that's not right for us to pray? You know, who are we to kind of ask for God to do that stuff in this church? Surely there are other churches that are more deserving, more needy. Jesus is saying here to his disciples, to anyone who follows him, pray boldly. pray those things for other churches, sure, but pray them for our church as well. Pray for both churches. What do you reckon your bold prayer could be? Take a moment to think. Like, as we start 2019, what is a bold prayer that you would love to pray? I'm sure there are many. You could start a list of bold prayers. The one you've started thinking about, right? I want you to hold on to that, because we might actually come back and pray for that at the end. So hold on to that bold prayer. Because what Jesus is saying here is bold prayers are what Jesus' followers do. Jesus' followers pray bold prayers. I think, though, there is a sense where we can be quite sympathetic with the disciples because there is a boldness that's out of place. Kids do boldness out of place all the time. My brother-in-law, Brad, it's one of my favourite stories. Well, he tells lots of stories, but one of the stories that he tells is about his daughter. They're at the beach, sitting at the beach, and a man is walking his dog, just walks past in front of their beach towel, and she yells out, "Is that a man or a woman?" Right? There's a boldness that is actually just out of place at times. Kids do it all the time. And I imagine if the disciples are feeling some level of awkwardness with Jesus saying, "Hey, be bold," it's because they're thinking, we can't, how can we be bold with a holy God? Like, that would be a boldness that's out of place. Jesus is very clear, though, as he teaches on prayer, that it's not. And he says it because this boldness is only possible because of a relationship. You see, Jesus sandwiches his teaching on being bold in prayer between an incredible truth that he repeats. He says, God is your heavenly Father. Right? When you're in God's community, when they're in God's community, the disciples can actually approach God as their Father. Jesus' first move, right, when they said, "Teach us to pray," that his first move was to start with that fact. Right at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer in verse 2, he says, "When you pray, say, Father." Right? The starting point of all prayer is that God is Father. And it's not a slip up. He hasn't made some kind of mistake, because his section here teaching on prayer in verse 13 finishes with this idea as well. He says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Right? He sandwiches his teaching on boldness between reminding the disciples that God is their Father. The disciples can approach God boldly because he's their heavenly Father. And as his followers today, right, that truth is the same for us. And actually, I think we can see that truth even more clearly than the disciples initially did when Jesus was teaching them. Because we know, right, that Jesus went to the cross to forgive us for rebelling against God, to bring us back to him, to restore that relationship. Right? And it isn't any old relationship. He brings us into his family. Ephesians 1:5 puts it like this: "In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ." Right? Because of Jesus, we're adopted. We're God's kids. He's our dad. And you know, like from your experiences with dads, that actually you can go to them with anything. When you've wet the bed, this is for young kids, obviously, not people my age, but when you've wet the bed, you go to your dad and say, "Can you help?" When you spill your breakfast everywhere, you go to your dad to mop it up. When you need to learn how to catch frogs, you go to your dad. When you need to learn how to ask a girl out, how to use a screwdriver, when you go to your dad for all these things. I mean, this this can be a bit tricky, right? Because our experiences with our dads sometimes make this truth a little bit hard to hold. Now, some of us have had great dads, some of us have had okay dads, some of us have had actually had awful dads, and some of us just haven't even had a dad that's around. But I think if we slow down, we all do deep inside have a sense of what a dad should be. Like, a dad should be present, patient, kind, gentle, encouraging, trustworthy, loving, someone who shows you right and wrong, someone who teaches you how to kick a ball, change a tire, someone you can go to at any time with any request. And I think Jesus would want us to know, right, God isn't like our earthly dad. Actually, he is the ultimate dad. He's the dad who sets the pattern for all other dads. Actually, God is like, well, God's like what your dad would have been like if he did everything absolutely right and got it right all the time. He's the perfect dad, God is. And that's the God that we pray to. Right, he can handle our boldness, whatever we ask, whenever we ask it. And actually, even more than that, because Jesus is teaching it, he's really saying, this is how God wants us to go to him, boldly, because he loves to hear his children's requests. We are his children, he's our father. And when Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, pray boldly because you're talking with your heavenly father. And I guess as we think about what Jesus is saying here, there are probably two extremes that we might need to think a bit further about. Some of us actually will be really bold prayers already, constantly checking in, asking God for help with people, situations, problems. But actually, you might be the person who's not interested at all in God being your father. Not interested in all the other aspects that go with fatherhood and what he gets to do as your dad. And so, unfortunately, that right to pray boldly, actually, it's not yours. And so for you, the boldest prayer that you need to pray, and it is a prayer that God will listen to, is asking for God to bring you into his family. For many of us this morning, actually, that's a prayer that we've prayed long ago. But what's happened is, like, we've just become not much of a prayer now. I mean, we look at the world and we think, man, there's so many bigger problems out there. God has much bigger fish to fry than kind of dealing with the stuff that's going on in my life. Maybe you think God's not actually happy with you, so why would he listen? Maybe you're questioning whether God loves you. And I want to remind you this morning that he's your father. That may be the truth that you've forgotten. Because of Jesus, he loves you. You're his son, you're his daughter. And he's saying, talk boldly with me. Bring your requests, anything, anytime. Right? That's why Jesus starts and finishes this section on prayer by reminding his disciples that God is their father. Right? And he's inviting us to be bold because of that. And so our boldness with God isn't out of place. He wants us to pray like that. And so can I encourage you to be bold that way? Ask for that person in your family who you've written off to come to know God. Ask for that ability to forgive the person who has hurt you deeply. Ask for the strength to keep fighting that sin that has had its grip on you for so long. Ask for the courage to kind of expose a sin and ask for forgiveness of it that you've kept hidden for so long. Ask for the desire to kill that sinful habit that you know, doesn't seem that bad. Ask for the ability not to be embarrassed by Jesus at school. Even ask for the boldness to pray boldly. There's much for us to pray about, and Jesus wants us to pray for it boldly because God is our Heavenly Father. So do you remember your prayer? The prayer, the bold prayer that you were thinking about earlier? Take that prayer and keep praying it. We'll pray for it in a moment, but keep praying for that this year. Add to that list. Have a list of prayers that you might pray boldly for yourself and your family, but also for us as a church. Because Jesus is saying here, pray boldly, because you've got a Heavenly Father who loves you and wants to hear them. So I'm going to give you a moment now to just pray quietly to yourself that bold prayer that you've been thinking of, and I'll close in a moment. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it can be hard at times for us to bring everything before you. At times we feel ashamed, at times we feel like you've just got other things to do. But this morning, Lord, we want to thank you as Jesus teaches us to pray that we can be bold, we can bring anything before you at any time, because you're our dad and you love to hear us pray. Lord, you've heard all our bold prayers this morning. And Lord, we ask that you would be good and gracious to us. Thanks that you do answer in a way that's good. And we pray that as we continue to chase after you and pray boldly, that we will see you work and see you change our lives and other people's lives. Help us to be a church that prays boldly this year. Amen.